Nancy and her protege, Jolene Katz, were also satisfied with their morning's work. Indeed, the latter, a thin 13-year-old, was agog with pride. For the longest while, she stared at the blue ribbon winner, the oven-hot cherries simmering under the crisp lattice crust, and then she was overcome, and hugging Nancy, asked, "Honest, did I really make it myself?" Nancy laughed, returned the embrace, and assured her that she had, with a little help. Jolene urged that they sample the pie at once. No nonsense about leaving it to cool. "Please, let's both have a piece. And you too," she said to Mrs. Clutter, who had come into the kitchen. Mrs. Clutter smiled, attempted to, her head ached, and said thank you, but she hadn't the appetite. As for Nancy, she hadn't the time. Roxy Lee Smith and Roxy Lee's trumpet solo awaited her, and afterward those errands for her mother, one of which concerned a bridal shower that some Garden City girls were organizing for Beverly, and another the Thanksgiving gala. "You go, dear. I'll keep Jolene company until her mother comes for her," Mrs. Clutter said, and then, addressing the child with unconquerable timidity, added, "If Jolene doesn't mind keeping me company." As a girl, she had won an elocution prize. Maturity, it seemed, had reduced her voice to a single tone, that of apology, and her personality to a series of gestures blurred by the fear that she might give offense, in some way displease. "I hope you understand," she continued after her daughter's departure. "I hope you won't think Nancy rude." "Goodness, no. I just love her to death." "Well, everybody does. There isn't anybody like Nancy." "Do you know what Mrs. Stringer says?" said Jolene, naming her home economics teacher. "One day she told the class, Nancy Clutter is always in a hurry, but she always has time. And that's one definition of a lady." "Yes," replied Mrs. Clutter. "All my children are very efficient. They don't need me." Jolene had never before been alone with Nancy's strange mother, but despite discussions she had heard, she felt much at ease. For Mrs. Clutter, though unrelaxed herself, had a relaxing quality, as is generally true of defenseless persons who present no threat. Even in Jolene, a very childlike child, Mrs. Clutter's heart-shaped missionary's face, her look of helpless, homespun ethereality, aroused protective compassion. But to think that she was Nancy's mother, an aunt, that seemed possible. A visiting spinster aunt, slightly odd, but nice. "No, they don't need me," she repeated, pouring herself a cup of coffee. Though all the other members of the family observed her husband's boycott of this beverage, she drank two cups every morning and often as not ate nothing else the rest of the day. She weighed 98 pounds. Rings, a wedding band, and one set with a diamond modest to the point of meekness, wobbled on one of her bony hands. Jolene cut a piece of pie. "Boy," she said, wolfing it down, "I'm going to make one of these every day, 7 days a week." "Well, you have all those little brothers, and boys can eat a lot of pie." "Mr. Clutter and Kenyon, I know they never get tired of them." "But the cook does. Nancy just turns up her nose." "It'll be the same with you." "No, no. Why do I say that?" Mrs. Clutter, who wore rimless glasses, removed them and pressed her eyes. "Forgive me, dear. I'm sure you'll never know what it is to be tired. I'm sure you'll always be happy." Jolene was silent. The note of panic in Mrs. Clutter's voice had caused her to have a shift of feeling.